criticism that I have to recite this, the current way to feel the right without it,
well, even if you hold good, so you see that the Rabbanim, when they made dinim, even though they included certain aspects that you have to have, if we omitted them, even though it's a din Rabbanim, they obligated us to go back. So the question is, why is it that if there's a Suda Machayevus, a Machuyevus, on Purim, that there are shittas lahalocha, and ultimately we pass to become sulfic. The climate is machriya, like that in Siman Tov for Yitzhakei, that we don't have to repeat the birchas hamovim. L'chayra, because since it's a suda mechuyevus, and any time there's a suda mechuyevus, like Shabbos and Yom Kippur, if we omit mention of the day, then we have to repeat the birchas hamovim. Whereas Rosh Chodesh, which is not a full, we are not a full-fledged Chiyuv Suda, but we omitted Yalav Yoma, we don't have to go back. So Purim would seem to fit in with Shabbos and Yom Tov, because as soon as a Suda Mechiyuv HaMechuyevus. So this perturbed me for many, many years. I kept coming back to this, and I was never, couldn't digest the halacha. Now I want to ask you another shayla. In Shmona Esrei, we recite Al Arisa. What happens if we omit the Al Arisa in Shmona Esrei? Right? The Kulei Alma, no question, La Aloha. Ein Machzirinus. No doubt that that's La Aloha. Ein Machzirinus. Now, why is it Ein Machzirinus? What's the reason? What's the reason? I believe there are two possible answers to that question. And there will be remarkable differences depending which terrorists we take. Now, we might say that there's ultimately, bottom line, there's no din haskara on Purim. They didn't make such a din. Shabbos is a din, Yom Tov is a din. On Chanukah Purim, there's no such din of haskara. We like to mention it, it's a throw-in. We have a lot of throw-ins. But if we left it out, is that an essential part of Shmoneh Esrei? Because it's ultimately, mitzvah ha-din, me'ikur the din, there's no din haskara. That's mistaver the pshat also. At a certain regard, if the most of the additions that we make for the Yom Narom, if we leave them out, Zachreinu, Michamaycha, Beseifer, Chsayif, those additions, we don't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So there are Rishayim, places in the Gila felt that we do have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Halacha, we did not accept it. We accept the view that these are Ga'inic additions to the Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore, they're not likupim. Meaning, ultimately, that the Shmoneh Esrei, in and of itself, does not have a din haskara that one has to mention these types of things about these types of akoshes and aseres in Meitshuva. There's no such chiyuv. It's a nice thing to do. It's the Goyim institute of it. But it doesn't mean that we have to have it. Similarly, it's a nice thing to have Al Arisa and the Shmoneh Esrei. But at bottom line, is there a din haskara that we have to be maskir purim into it? No, there's no such din. So if I left it out, that's why I don't daven again. That's one mahalach. There's a second mahalach. The second mahalach is a molomdish mahalach. The first is in a way pure bris. There's no din haskara for it. The second also is a lomdish mahalach, but a little bit more lomdish in a certain regard, which is that Purim is not mechayev tefillah. Because we daven the Shmoneh Esrei, if we daven on Purim, it's the same Shmoneh Esrei, that we would daven any other day of the week. It's not a mechayev. Purim is not a mechayev of tefillah in its own right. We daven on Purim not because it's Purim. We daven on Purim because it happens to be this year it's Friday, a different year it's Sunday, whatever day of the week it happens to come out. That's the reason. A different year, it's Thursday. So we daven not because it's Purim. Because it's Yom Chamishi, it's Yom Shishi, it's Yom Rishon. That's why we daven. Shabbos Yom Tov we daven Chag itself is a mechayev of tefillah as its own karbonus. It's a mechayev of its own avoda, its own tefillah, and therefore the mentioning of Shabbos the same way that it's mechayev karbonus. Memela tefillah b'mochum karbonus tiknum. It's mechayev tefillah too. Even Rosh Chodesh, since it had a korban, is a mechayim of tefillah. Therefore, Purim, though, is not mechayim of tefillah. That's not the mechayim of the tefillah. We happen to daven on Purim, yeah. I daven today, too. Today wasn't Purim, wasn't Shushan, but I did daven today. Because today is a day that's mechayim of tefillah, like every other day is mechayim of tefillah. But it's nothing about particularly today, and being the day that it is in Adar, which right, today being the fourth day of Adar, which had any special significance in Tefillah, other than it's another day, and each day is Mechayev Tefillah. So that could be a reason that I don't have to daven again, because ultimately the Tefillah is not Tefillah Shofar. It's a regular Tefillah, which I happen to be davening on Purim. Two ways we could understand why I don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, right now it's on a theoretical level, but the impact of these two ways is enormous. There's a huge difference between them. If the pshat is that, let's start with the second way, that the tefillah is not from the chiyuvim of Purim. That's why I don't have to go back in Shemoneh Esrei. How about the Seudas Purim? The Birchas HaMazon which stems from that. That's Mechiyuv Purim. Purim is Mechayiv me to have the Seudas. Therefore, it's not that Purim. Purim is as much a day subject to Askara as anything else in the world. But when do I have to mention Purim? Yeah. If it's a din of Purim, if it's a Purim din, that's Mechayiv, and I have to mention it. The Seudas Purim is a Purim din. I have to mention Alam Yisrael. The Shemoneh Esrei is not a Purim din, so I don't have to have Shemoneh. It's a nice thing to have it, but I don't have to have it. If we follow that line of reasoning, then it would be, in fact, Likuvim. If we take the first line of reasoning that we offer, the Pshat is Purim is not a day where they want Mechayev Haskar altogether. Doesn't have a carbon, and Mameila, there's no din haskar that's associated with it. So Mameila, if I left it out in Tefillah, so there's no Ikra de dinah, there's no din of haskar. Same on Chanukah. It comes to Seudas Purim, it's true. Seudas Purim is a chayva Purim, there's no doubt about it. But there's no din haskar on Purim. The notion of askara that has to be included, you have to mention it in tefillah or whatever, hayayim, there's no din askara in Purim. Mameila, if I bench, then I omitted it. So what? So I omitted it. There's no din askara in the first place. If day, Purim is a day which had its own korban, and Mameila is a din, and after the day, I should be maskarit. For that reason, it's a day that's mechayiv haskar. So it will reflect itself in the tefillah and ultimately in the seudas too. But since it doesn't have a din haskar, it has no korban to it, and remember there's no chayivus to be masked with the tefillah. So they never made a din haskar for Purim.
So what's the day itself?
The day is the day. It has mitzvahs. That's all. But it doesn't. It doesn't. It's not an inyan. In other words, in terms of in the tefillah hayayim, there's no inyan to be masked with. It has its own dinim, but the dinim of askara are not nogei at the Purim.
Did the halachas, did the mitzvahs of Purim, do they have the same status as the mitzvahs of the Tanya mitzvahs of the Torah?
No, obviously not. They're not dinim deraisa. I mean, I don't think it would make a difference. So I would, my point of departure in this thought would be that if you have a if there's a din of karbonos in tefillah of a mokum karbonos, then there's a din askar. You have to mention the day. If a dinas korah, then the mitzvah of the dinas korah could be in any mitzvah sayin. It could be a dinas korah. But if there's no dinas korah at root, because there's no korban, so there's no reason to make a dinas. They didn't make the dinas korah, so there's no dinas korah. So it doesn't exist. Pesumanis is another thing. That's its own din in Purim. Purim has a din. You read the Megillah, the fast of the next. Yeah, such a din there is. It's a different din. The lighting of the lighting of the nearest Hanukkah is also Pirsum Hanas. But that's not Machayev, Paschor, and Tvila. It's a different din. So this is what strikes me now for the first time, some measure of understanding of what this Machloikas is about. A very lumdish Machloikas. But for the first time, I hear clearly two dayas and why each dayah should be holding what it holds. So this is a chiddush from today. Yeah. On Purim, so we have how many mitzvahs? We have Kriyas and Megillah, Matanos Lev Yoyne, Shloach Manos, and Sudas Purim. Four mitzvahs. We read the Megillah two times, once in the night and once in the daytime. Pashtus, we would imagine that the two Kriyas of Megillah are the same. Rabbi Yeshua and Levi said a person has to read the Megillah at night or the Shanois of the Yom. But when we start to be Ma'ayin into it, the Turei Evan is authored by the Shagas Arya. So they're radically different, the Kriyas HaMegillah of the night time and the Kriyas HaMegillah of the daytime. In what fashion? Kriyas HaMegillah of the night time is a Din Midirei Sefer. It's enacted in effect by the Nevi'im, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, you know, the end of the era of the Nevi'im. It's a Din Midirei Sefer, Midirei Kabbalah, as we would call it. That's the proper term, a Din Midirei Kabbalah. Whereas the Kriyas HaMegillah b'layla is a din d'rabbanan. Now there are many Rishonim, for example, who hold that a Sofik b'divrei Kabbalah has the same din as a Sofik d'raisa, Sofik d'raisa l'chumba, whereas by a Sofik d'rabbanan is l'kula. So since the Kriyas HaMegillah in the daytime is b'divrei Kabbalah, it's more chum, that what happens can be the antithesis of the common perception.
Can I just quick
Divrei Kabbalah means it was something which is enacted in Tanakh.
Enacted in Tanakh.
Yes.
So
according to many Shitas, it's a Sufik in Divrei Kabbalah is treated as a Sufik derived as Lechumah. Right, but good. But it still has the din. Be Sufik, it still has the same din. You have to be Machmer, as if it would be a derived.
Okay.
Whereas a mitzvah derabbanan is Sufik to Rabbanan the Kula.
Okay.
Now, the common perception, how many seats do you need in shul? So there are two mechayvim for how many seats you need. The Arizal, the Zoya got it right. That it says Yom Kippurim, right? That Yom Kippur is like Purim. So that those are the two nights a year that you need the maximum amount of seats in the shul. And sometimes I think on Purim, I think you need even more. Because all the little kids come on Purim night, you know, just the parents leave the home for Kol Nidre. But in the night of Purim, everybody's in shul. Basically, if you're old enough to walk, you wind up in shul. So those are the two nights of the year when the shul is most packed. Okay, swing for one day, swing for the chandeliers. Come to shul in the daytime? Nope. Not exactly the same. I would say now it's better than it was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, altogether, to find a lady at Kriyas HaMegillah in the daytime. I mean, there weren't so many men either in the daytime, but a woman altogether. Find a woman in the daytime at Kriyas HaMegillah. Didn't take place. You saw anyone? You remember seeing women in Irwin. In the daytime of Purim, you saw women? I didn't see women. I remember the early 1960s. I remember coming home. I remember one year in the early 60s, I think I was coming back from Kriyas HaMegillah, Vermont Street Shore of Kupko, Talbot the Rof. Vermont, East New York. I think it must have been Vermont. I think my oldest brother read it when he was reading the Megillah. I think that's what it was. I remember walking back from, I'm pretty sure that's where I was coming from. I don't remember. I remember walking back from shul on Purim morning. And that's it. The world was at work. It was not, you know, so it was Purim. What happened, whatever, sometime later in the day, but it wasn't, you know, the shul, a lady in shul on Purim.
You
asked
them at home?
What?
You asked them at home?
I can't tell you.
Well, he said there in the Mishnah, what do we do with one of those girls?
Like,
you can't imagine that
they'll
come to shul.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people read at home either. I can't tell you.
Okay.
It was Baruch Hashem, in that regard.
More
yeah, yeah. That's without doubt. People are better educated and no more sophisticated. But this was an older dirt, I should say an older, the dirtiest that we saw, at least, that the nighttime Megillah was more strictly adhered to than the daytime. And the truth is, according to the Torah, even the opposite is true. The Ikam Megillah is the daytime. The nighttime is the addition. That's the additional one. And it's also, there's nothing like being first. If you first steal all the thunder. So that's the first thing that we have to understand is the chashivas of the Megillah B'yayim. That's in terms of prayers of Megillah. Now we know the Gemara says in Megillah that Dafidalad that why don't we recite the Hallel? Why don't we recite the Hallel, Apol? It's a din of Pursum and Iso. And according to the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Yud, we have two reasons that we recite Hallel. We recite Hallel because of a Chag, or we recite Hallel because of a Nes. Chanukah is not a Chag, it doesn't have Iso Meloch associated with a Chag, but we had a Nes. Purim was also a Nes. We fast from the Nes, some Purim. We only did a Pursum and Iso. We make a bracha before the Kriyas of Megillah. So also Nisim of Avoseinu. So we're pretty loudly proclaiming the Nisim of Purim. So why don't we recite the Hallel? So the Gemara gives three terutim. One is, the Gemara says that it was a Nes which took place in Chutz La'aretz. And a Nes in Chutz La'aretz. Once we enter Eretz Yisrael, we no longer recite Hallel and Nes in Chutz La'aretz. Even though Yetzias Mitzrayim was also in Chutz La'aretz, but that's before we enter Eretz Yisrael. But once we enter Eretz Yisrael, we don't recite Hallel and Nes of Chutz La'aretz. First is the second reason that Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hanan. There are certain times in life that we are with some apes, we're triumphant. But sometimes triumph has limitations. Here, we were not exactly free men. We were not restored to political sovereignty with the events of Purim. One of the many tyrants who was to afflict us in Chutz La'aretz appeared over the on the horizon. In the Chazda Agodol of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he's one of the ones that we managed to do it before we suffered from him. But so that removed that particular threat. But after all was said and done, Kati Avdi Achashverosh, we were subjects of Achashverosh. We did not have power over ourselves. The second Beis HaMikdash was not going to be built based on our power and our sovereignty. Kairosh, Melech of Babel, he gave us license to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Second reason, so the Simcha is not such a complete Simcha that we can recite Hallel for it. And the third answer that the Gemara gives me, the third of the answers of the Gemara, I'm not giving them in Tafkin chronological order, but the final answer is Kriyosa Zuhi Halima. Is that we have a Hallel. That Hallel is the Kriyas HaMegillah. It's a different, obviously, a different form of challah. It's a different form of challah. We might state that why do we have a different form of challah for Purim than we have for all the other Yom Tovim, including Hanukkah. So maybe the fact Hanukkah is a question. We might say that this was totally an Esnista. Hanukkah was relatively an Esnista, but the war, in other words, the fact that the neighbors burned was, at least that part was Begoli. You can't, you know that's not, was not explicable up in Derech HaTeva. So it could be that when a nest, which is Chutz V'Gidrei HaTeva, we recite, that's when we recite Hala, that's Yitzhias Mitzrayim. But a nest, which was in the confines of Teva, the natural order was not changed for anything to take place on Purim. A politician who was riding high one day, was riding high a little bit differently the next day. He was riding high a little bit differently the next day, you know. So, it's all up in Derech HaTeva. So here, we have a different type of hallel. The Megillas Purim is within the hallel of Nes Nistar, of Nisim within Teva. Where we're not zoich on the golos to see the Rabbeinu Shalom's hands outwardly, but the Yaivetz writes in the Hagdoma to his Siddur. I heard this many, many years ago in Yeshiva from our Rosh Shiva Shlita, should be well. But I once looked for it and I didn't find it. But then when I was preparing to darshan and broyas this year, so I remembered it, and I went back again it's in the Hagdoma of the Yaivetz to a Siddur. Now the only problem is the Hagdoma to the Yaivetz is very, 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 very lengthy, and in very, very small print. There's a massive amount of material there. So therefore, all the times that I looked, I hadn't found it, but this time I looked again, and Baruch Hashem Zochisi that I found it. Basically, this Chei Hashem, basically, a Chei Nafshi, makes a shvur. That if one studies the survival of Klal Yisrael in the Golus, a Nisim which exceed the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what he writes. But this is all together a Nes Nista. It's not a Nes Nigla. How Klal Yisrael has survived in the Golus, it is totally inexplicable. We live constantly in one hostile culture after the next, with brief periods of respite before the hostility returned. We've had among us our enemies, the most powerful people in the world, constantly. We were on the wrong side of all the empires in the world. And yet, all of those empires are the dust end of history. And Klal Yisrael thrives. Totally inexplicable. And all within the confines of Teva. Nothing that we can understand, we cannot fathom the depth of the process. So that is a hallow, that's a special hallow. A hallow for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands, cloaked, very heavily cloaked, in the veils of history. So that's the kriya that we have. That's the hallow that we have. Interestingly, the Rambam and the Yad seems to accept this teretz l'halacha, that the kriya sahalel is the equivalent of the lighting of the neiros on Chanukah. So the Rambam seems quite pointed to accept this teretz l'halacha. So that's the nature of the kriya. I wanted to stop on one more thing. Kriyas HaMegillah as a bracha afterwards. Asher Hinei Atzos Goyim, etc. What's the function of this bracha that we have afterwards? I believe the function is that in Kriyas HaMegillah there were really two operative dinim. You can best express this in these terms. The Gemara says in the beginning of Erechim that Akol Chayovim the Kriyas HaMegillah. Versus Hakayil Lasuya and Ma'idim on Dav Gimel and Erechim. It's Lasuya Noshim. Noshim and Mechuyim and Megillatim. So Taisus has a Shiloh. There at the beginning of Erechim. What's the Pshat? Noshim and Mechuyim and Kriyas HaMegillah? Or Noshim and Mechuyim to hear the Megillah? They're not Mechuyim and Kriyas HaMegillah. The Nafkimina being, can a woman be made to a man? So there's two sheets. So what's the pshat of a chi of Shmi and not a chi of Kriya? What's the pshat? So I said, it really depends on a shay that the Mogen Avraham has. The Mogen Avraham has a shay in Hukas Kriya Satoira and Hukas Shabbos. A woman mechuyev in Kriya Satoira. Now let's be very careful. Even if they're not mechuyev in Kriya Satoira, if they're in shul, then one's not allowed to be oisik in anything else other than listening to Kriyas HaTorah. One can daven, one can do anything else other than listening to Kriyas HaTorah if one is in shul. Because there's an inyan of what's bizoyan HaTorah. The Gemara has varied shilas in the first parak in Brochus about what one is allowed to do during Kriyas HaTorah. If he heard the Kriyas HaTorah, all types of shilas. And the Gemara really has a teiku. So one would have imagined that listen, the whole Kriyas HaTorah is basically a din d'rabbanan. So Mamela should have been sofuk d'rabbanan l'kula. And yet the Rif paskens these dinim l'chumra. What's the pshat? So I tied it once. The pshat is interesting. I found there is a soul dikarov that said this. You said it or quoted someone else that said it. But the pshat is very simply, it's true. Kriyas HaTorah is d'rabbanan. But to be mevaz in the Torah, that's an isa d'ra'isa. It's similar to a tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote. Akila had certain customs that were accepted in that community by which to give honor to the Rav. They were things which were not halachically obligatory, but their Akila enacted these as practices to be mechaber the Rav. So Rav Moshe wrote that they're not chiyuvim, but they're not allowed to rescind them. He didn't have to make them in the first place, but now that this is part of the way that he gives cover to the Rav, it affects the Mimavatalam as the Mimavazat Rav. That you don't have a right to do. But, you know, he can give Mimavazat Torah. So one can't be Isaac and other things, but a woman, in principle, Mechuyev and Kriyas HaTorah.
I think you
could
understand because nobody's ever Chayev and Kriyas anything. We all listen to the Bakar, right? We all listen to the person making Kiddush.
That's also Shomer Kohanim means that we had the chiyuv to do it, except yes. We fulfilled that obligation by listening to someone else. But do I have the obligation in Kriyas HaTorah? Does a woman have to come to shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah? She could stay home. So the Mogen Avraham has two terutzim. The Mogen Avraham in one terutz, and the Mogen Avraham says the woman is mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah as much as the men. How does he know this? He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, why can't you give a woman an aliyah? He goes, Kovar HaTzibur, the Gemara says in Megillah. If he gave her an aliyah, I guess she would have had to have read the Torah. So how was she made? And in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have a Malkriya. They did what the Sfardim did. Everyone read for themselves.
Right.
So how would a man going to be Yaitse? So it must be, says Mustafa, it looks like she was Mechuyim in Kriyas HaTorah.
So maybe she did read it.
What?
Maybe in the
ancient days
she did read it.
No, Enoch Hanami. That's
right.
What I'm saying. I'm saying, but you see from that except for the aspect of Kovar HaTzibah, she would have been able to read it. So how would she have been able to read it if she's not Mechuyev? Then she certainly couldn't get an Aliyah because she's not Mechuyev. You can't give a Kotlin an Aliyah because she's not Mechuyev. So how could you give a woman an Aliyah? So it would seem to articulate the fact that a woman is Mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mogen Avraham has a Shaila in that regard. I don't think in Jewish history you can say that women accepted upon themselves the Tzad that they're Mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah. I don't think so. Now let's assume for a moment, I'll assume for my purposes tonight, that women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. So it comes out there are two dinim. There's a din of the Pesumanis of the Megillah, That's one thing. You have to read the Megillah. There's a second din, and that is, there's a din of a kriya b'kisvei HaKadosh. Same way we have kriya satayra. We have a kriya of the haftayra. According to some Rishonim, we have kriya k'suvim, et mincha on Shabbos. The din of kriya b'kisvei HaKadosh. That's a second mechayev. So, men, ultimately, if they have to read, they're mechayev in the kriya of the Megillah, as they are in Kriya and Kol Kisvei. At any time, we're mechayev to read Kisvei HaKadosh. If they have to read the Torah, if they have to read the Haftarah, to read the Megillah. Secondly, there's a din of Pursumei Nisa that's involved in that. Women, though, have only the din of the Pursumei Nisa. They're not mechayev in the din of Kriya but Kisvei HaKadosh. I think that's the pshat when the Rishonim say that the mechayev in Shmiya, not in Kriya. The din of Kriya is a din which comes in the din of Kriya but Kisvei HaKadosh, Kriya Satayra, that they don't have. But they are mechayev because of the Pursumei Nisa dikudin to hear it. But there's no din in reading in and of itself. So that's why perhaps they can't be might see a man, because a man's chayev is two-dimensional, and this is one-dimensional. So we could have reading for two different reasons. We could have reading for Pursumei Nisa, and reading because it's Kriya B'Kisvei HaKadosh.
They couldn't read for each other then.
What?
They couldn't read for each other.
No, because women are equally mechayev.
Right.
So maybe that's enough. They have the same chayev.
Right.
That could be. But there are others that want to say, they're also in machlokes. But in terms of this issue that we brought up, it would not make a difference, I agree. Now, it's true, we recite the... So we recite a bracha she'os anisim before the Megillah. So that's to give some indication. We make a bracha on Mikra Megillah. It could be that they didn't Mikra Megillah, they didn't Kriya B'Kisvei HaKadosh. And they didn't she'os anisim because it's for Pursumei Nisa. But we want to emphasize at the end of the Kriya that this Kriya was not just a Kriya B'Kisvei HaKadosh, that this Kriya was for Pursumei Nisa purposes. And therefore we have a bracha of Asher Heini at the end. There's something about Asher Heini Yatzas Goyim to tell us this, what we just read, is how the Rabbeinu Shalom in fact nullified the evil decrees of Haman and his cohorts. And that I think is the pshat on Hanukkah as well. Haneros Halolu was a minute called, it's a very, very old minute, Haneros Halolu. And what's the pshat? Because lighting Neros could also be for different reasons. We light Neros on Shabbos for a utilitarian function, ultimately. Good, it gives cover to Shabbos, it's true, but ultimately it's utilitarian. It's Einik Shabbos, so we have light. So why do we light the Neiros on Hanukkah? Is it utilitarian, or is it for Pursumei Nisa? That's why is it of all the halachas that we could have thought of including in Haneros Halolu, it tells us, Haneros Halolu Kodesh Reilun Roshus Lishtamishta. Okay, very nice. It's a nice technical halacha, but this is what I have to recite by Haneros Halolu. He tells us Haneros Halolu Kodesh, Chol Shmona Tzemi, right in the Ruzeru, it's Al Niflo Secho, Al Nisecho, Al Yeshua Secho, Al Anisim, Al Atchua Zor Flo, Shos Yisrael Abba Sein, right? It's Pashvei, I understand. But this technical halacha, Haneros Halolu Kodesh, Al Roshus Lishtamish, Al Roshus Lishtamish, that we need here too, in the middle of Haneros Halolu. That's good, whatever, have a share in halacha. The nuts and bolts of the halacha, but the haidor, if necessary, and halal, we put in there for some dinim, about we're not allowed to do on yontif. Main little rishus, that was to do malacha on yontif, whatever we need it for. So, because that's the whole word. The whole word of Haneros Halolu was to underscore that this is Pursumei Nisa. And that underscore expressed, it's articulated in the halacha, Haneros Halolu Kodesh, and Haneros Tishtamish. That's the whole point of Haneros Halolu. Which is the similar point here, was formalized in the Brocha of Asher Heini. There's a Brocha for that function, to stress the Pursumei Nisa part. In Hanukkah, they didn't make a Brocha afterwards. Maybe because it's not been a Kriya, and a Kriya Mikisvei HaKadosh, there is a din of Brocha L'Achareil. Could be maybe that's why Barab never did Brocha L'Achareil. And at Lokas Neiris, there's no din of Brocha L'Achareil, so they didn't make it. But Minig enacted the same thing in Haneros Halolu. This year, Purim is an Erev Shabbos. It's the rarest expression of Purim in the Jewish calendar. To realize how rare it is, it only occurs in those years when Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So which is not a very frequent occurrence. It's sort of a sporadic occurrence. Sometimes in a few years you get it a few times over, and then it fades for who knows how long. It's a decade sometimes. I think from the time I was a toddler until I was, I think for 21 years, I don't think there was Shabbos Erev Pesach, if I recall, from something somewhere around like 1960 to 1963 to 74 something. 54 it was. 54 to 20 years. Oh, okay. I didn't remember that Pesach. I just know looking back in the Luach, it was somewhere back then. Right? For 20 years, there was no Shabbos Erev Pesach. Yeah, that's what I remember, 1974. Because my father, Allah Shalom, died in that year. That's the year. Tavshin Lamed Gimel. My father died in Tavshin Lamed Dalet rather than Cheshvan. And the next Pesach was Shabbos Erev Pesach. The Purim was Friday. That's how I remember that year. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember what it was specifically. Kitzad Varm. So, as we pointed out a little Friday night the other week, that it has its own, it's Mechayev, its own halachas. In the sense that we try as much as possible when we have a Sudas Mitzvah, whether it's a Sudas Pidyon HaBen, Sudas Bris Milah, Sudas Purim, that we have to have on Friday, so then we're allowed to have a Suda, which is not a typical Suda to have on Friday. We're allowed to have it Erev Shabbos. It's not considered a zilzal, degrading to cover Shabbos. But we do try to get it in as early as possible. It's similar to the fact that we have, for example, on Yom Tov, when we have, if Yom Tov is Arab Shabbos, and Shabbos, or Yom Tov is Motzei Shabbos, so we try to have the meal, the daytime meal, to finish before the last quarter of the day, before Samach L'Mincha. So that we, it's not a chiyuv al pidin, but we want to do it, so we'll be able to eat, at least to be Mekayim Suda, in the nighttime properly. So similarly, in this case, when Purim occurs on Erev Shabbos, that's what Ramah says, is Yasso Suda B'Shachris Mishum Kveida Shabbos, when Purim is B'yom Hashishi, we should try even to start the Suda in the morning if possible. Now again, this is a practical dimension. There's no halacha in the Gemara that says that you have to start the Suda from Shachris. It's a cheshbon. The cheshbon is that if the Rambam discouraged us in the final part of the day, it's better not to eat even a small meal. So a massive meal is obvious. One should try to front load as early as possible in the day, so there's some possibility of being Mekayim Suda Shabbos. It's interesting, we saw in the Ramah in the Marshal last week that Odom Misadar Odom Shekhono Be'er Shabbos Afilo Ena Torech Alelu Kizayis. I mean, you should set up the table and set everything nicely with the kelim and the neiris and the dishes for a regular suda. Even though he's only going to, why is he only going to get a kezayin? So basically, he says because he had a suda's mitzvah. So since he had a suda's mitzvah, he's not going to have too much appetite in the nighttime. So we try as much as possible to accommodate both, to accommodate suda's porn and to accommodate suda's shabbos.
Isn't there
different opinions about Erev Shabbos? Some people say there's a million, you can even have a sandwich because of Erev Shabbos.
Isn't there also
the Shulchan Aruch is holds to make a regular Suda Shabbos.
What time frame would the Rav say you should start in order to have a good appetite when you start the meal this year?
That's a very personal question. The Gemara states in Ari Psochem that Ari Psochem Samach L'Mincha L'Yochol Adam Asher Techsha. So the Gemara quotes, if I remember, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he didn't eat, he fasted Erev Pesach. He himself wrote in the Mishnah that the only Samach L'Mincha. The Gemara says it was an istinus. He had a very finicky appetite. And if he ate in the morning, that was it. He never would have been able to eat at night. So, therefore, he didn't eat the whole Erev Pesach, otherwise he would not have had much appetite. So it depends. It depends on your age. You know, if you're 20 years old, there's a different halacha than if you're 50, you know. And it depends on your own eating. The person has to know themselves. Yeah.
Is a person mechuyev to eat a certain type of food on Purim, or can he eat anything that he decides? Like, could he have dairy foods,
I think the answer is it's no different than Suda Shabbos. Whatever a person is machshiv to make Suda Shabbos on, that's what they should be doing for Suda's point. You know, there are some people, listen, that the halacha did not dictate bedafka what a person has to have on Shabbos. You know, typically we say a person should have bosu bedol, because that's what most people make for a choshev b'suda. There are other people that it's the last thing in the world they'll eat for a choshev b'suda. You know, it depends where in the world you came from or what your eating habits are, and that's the determinant. But whatever you would do for a Suda Shabbos, that's what you should do for Suda's Purim. Yeah, I went to someone recently, they told me. Shabbos in the daytime, they have the fanciest meal in the world. But it's all salads and milk. Jesus. That's their thing. I'm saying that's what they enjoy. You know, so you can get a chama with a glass of tea also. But Allah did not dictate what one has to eat. Yeah, Irwin.
Why are we making such a thing about when to eat on Friday, Thursday, and last when we have to eat? When Rosh Hashanah comes out on Friday, and that night we have to sit down on Friday, and that night we have to sit down to a suda, we're willing to stay in school to 3 o'clock, eat, and we managed to eat that night also. So why are we making a bigger difference on Thursday than on Rosh Hashanah?
Because there's a big difference between the two. And that is that the consumption on Purim, I think, is significantly different than the consumption on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is good. We have Sudas Yomtiv, but in a certain regard, it's not the same laissez-faire as Purim is concerned. Because there is Acharei Tichlei Sakol, Bizei Basadin, and the Yikah stress, and we find the Mashal discusses it in Be'er. There were, in fact, many of the early Acharinim that held that there's no Chiyuv Sud on Rosh Hashanah altogether. They allowed even, there were those that held that you were allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Ultimately, Jewish history will machriya not like the Rosh, but the Mashal discusses them seriously. There were days that are Rosh Hashanah. That's not, the Din Chagim, and the Sudas Yantav, Simchas Yantav don't apply.
You would say that one could finish by approximately midday by Kasos?
Well, I don't think it's a practical statement. By the time one gets home from shul, or by the time one gets a little bit done with shalach manos, by the time the woman cooks the food, I don't think that, you know, we're going to be ready to eat so early in the morning. So I think that the idea is to start as early as possible. And the Ramah obviously suggests starting before Chatzos. But that depends, you know, on how yekish each person is.
The chiyuv of stopping eating that the Rambam talks about, not to eat in the afternoon,
yeah,
would that also apply to drinking on Purim?
It's to some extent, elamai, because it's mitzvah sayayim, we don't, you know, come down heavy in that regard. But in the latter part of the day, if the person could tone it down, would be appropriate. So that he's able to be mekayim through the Shabbos at night.
So the drinking is going to fill a person up, and he should be careful not to drink so much.
Well, maybe somewhat less. We still hold that you have to be mekayim on Yom Tov also. Let's say a person's going to eat the regular Sudas Yom Tov at a regular time. Even a small Suda, but then he'll be full for the night, so we still have to eat the Suda. Not exempt from the Suda, we just try not to overdo it. I think we have time, one more time yet, to come back again and talk about Purim Be'ez and Hashem next week. We still have before Purim. So, Abba Yisai, so we have tonight a little bit of brisk, a little halacha.